The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello, a very good morning to you. 3 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 26th of May, 2026. You're very welcome along to The Greg Hughes Show here on your number one local radio station, Highland Radio. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and we've got a packed show as always. It's Tuesday, so Community Garda information is coming up for you just after 10 o'clock with the very latest appeals and information here first on The Greg Hughes Show every single Tuesday morning. That and so much more besides. We've a lot of comments obviously carried over from yesterday. Some big talking points. I'll get to some of them as the morning wears on. But add to the conversation. The lines are open for you right now. You can give us a call on 07491 25000. Caroline and Shannon taking your calls, or WhatsApp or text if that suits you better, 086 60 25000. And also you can always send in your voice notes to WhatsApp as well. You know, not everyone really formulates words the same as everybody else, and everyone is entitled to their say, so feel free to drop us a voice note as well if that suits you better, and it's a way for you to get involved in the conversation. A lot of politics, a bit of analysis on the front of the papers today. We'll start with the Irish Times. Left-wing parties have rounded on Sinn Féin over its recent policy direction, raising doubts about the prospect of a future left alliance. Tensions between the largest party of the opposition and others on the left, including the Social Democrats, Labour and People Before Profit, have grown in recent months, fracturing the tentative progressive alliance formed during Catherine Connolly's presidential campaign. The results of the Dublin Central and Galway West by-elections were won respectively by Daniel Ennis of the Social Democrats and Sean Kine of Fine Gael, and showed many left-wing voters not giving preference to Sinn Féin. The party's recent stances it has adopted on the issues of migration and reproductive rights have drawn public criticism from senior figures in other parties. Labour leader Ivana Bakic said voters don't believe Sinn Féin is left-wing, which is so evidently borne out by the transfer pattern in the by-elections. And as I said, we were sort of having this conversation on Friday and speculating a little bit, you know, as part of the Friday panel, is there a little bit of an identity crisis there for that party? I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there isn't. But certainly would be interested in what you think out there. You know, we have a lot of left-leaning people in this county, so I'd be very interested to hear what your views are in relation to that analysis. 086 60 25000. A bill to ban the importation of goods from Israel settlements will go before the cabinet today after being signed off at a meeting of coalition leaders last night. Now, you will know that there was a vote last week for sanctions on Israel, effectively, from Ireland. That was defeated. The government said it's got its own plans and also wanted to sort of have a European-wide approach to it. So this ban on goods bill is due for discussion very shortly. But the long-delayed legislation will only ban physical goods and not the far more lucrative trade in services. Now, this feels very much like, whether you agree with it or not, a bit of tokenism here, you know. So we'll cherry pick out stuff. We'll not eat your grapes, but we'll use your AI. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, how is that in any way a meaningful ban? You'd have to ask, wouldn't you? Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Taoiseach Simon Harris will hail the move as the fulfilment of election manifesto commitments from 2024, also repeated in the programme for government. So my question to you as the electorate, albeit only 40-odd percent of you voted in the last election, but still we all have our say, is a ban on Israel goods from Israeli settlements enough? Services are exempt. What kind of services? Well, the ones that are the most lucrative. You know, I mean, it's very a la carte. I think it feels a la carte. And as I say, that's whether you agree with it or not. You could take a step back and go, well, it's kind of, you know, it's a bit of tokenism, is it? We've all been following the very tragic case of Kieran Dernan, this young lad who disappeared. The investigation obviously was very high profile for a while. It slipped off the headlines, but not people's minds. There has been a development, as reported in the Irish Daily Mail. A woman in her 50s has been arrested over the disappearance and murder of Kyron Dernan, the boy who was reported missing nearly 2 years ago. It was claimed Kyron, who would now be 10, disappeared from his grandmother's home in Drogheda, County Louth in August 24. However, it's believed he died 2 years before that in 2022 when he was just six, Gardaí said. The arrested woman, who was well known to Kyron, is also being questioned over allegedly giving false statements to Gardaí as well as other government bodies relating to his disappearance. It's also being alleged that she played a major part in a cover-up of the boy's death, informed sources say. So really what they're pointing to who the arrested person is without actually saying who it is. The Pope has had his say on AI and its future in, I suppose, its use in human mortality as well, to some extent. Pope Leo has called for AI to be disarmed with regulation and limits on its use for warfare, although it's being very actively used already in wars, both in the Middle East and in Europe, Ukraine, effectively, is what I'm saying. The pontiff warned of the dangers of a technological revolution driven by the ideatry of profit, the idea of profit, the ideology of profit, criticising the transhumanist vision of Silicon Valley. Entrepreneurs such as Peter Thiel and Elon Musk, the Pope said some people are now deemed less useful, less desirable, and less worthy. In his first encyclical letter since his elevation to the papacy last year, the US-born Pope warned that opaque algorithms controlled by powerful private companies threaten new forms of dehumanization. And part of that, too, is trying to use AI to extend people's lives as well. And we were talking yesterday about this notion, which I find very unattractive, of being frozen and then defrosted later when there are cures for certain ailments, etc. Very sad news as it relates to a Derry Lotto winner. Tears have been flowing for Irish Lotto winner Sean Keeley. He passed away suddenly but peacefully in the Philippines. Sean, who was just in his 30s, became an instant millionaire when he scooped £1 million, that's about €1.1 million, when he purchased a scratch card in 2020. The then manager of Eurospar in Dungiven, County Derry, bought the winning £50 million Mega Cash Showdown scratch card from McNichol's Eurospar in the town. It's believed Sean had been residing in the Philippines, and since news of his death on Saturday spread, friends and family have posted tributes, which is sad, sad news. You would think, wouldn't you, with that vast amount of money coming into your hands, that everything would be all right. But unfortunately, he's passed away, and it's just a reminder, I suppose, to take we can take nothing for granted. Not that he did, but money doesn't fix everything, and it's very, very sad news. Now, some moving on now to some different topics, and we got some correspondence from a couple of listeners who were in the ED at Letterkenny University Hospital. One of them wrote, "I spent 18 hours in the emergency department in LUH yesterday. What I've noticed is that the seats in the seating area are gone. Some people had to stand. Seats are gone from inside the doors too when you enter. Why have the seats been lifted?" Well, I was down there a couple of times this week, and you would have noticed if you've been there that they've got new seats. We have for a long time been talking about the very uncomfortable sort of S-shaped seats, metal with holes in them. Now, unfortunately, people are spending a lot of time in that ED, as they are in many EDs, and it can be incredibly uncomfortable. But I was sat in one of the seats yesterday, and far more comfortable. So it's great. There was quite a bit of money spent on seat covers, you might remember, which never really transpired. I don't think they were on the seats for any period of time, but now there are more permanent, more comfortable seats there. So let's get that response from the HSE, just to be absolutely clear. Letterkenny University Hospital has completed an upgrade of seating with the emergency department waiting area to enhance accessibility and improve patient comfort. The refurbishments includes the installation of 29 new seats alongside the retention and upgrading of 46 existing seats, bringing the total number of upgraded seats now to 75. The new seating features high back support, padded armrests, raised seat height, and an upholstered finished providing greater comfort and support for elderly patients, individuals with reduced mobility, and those who may experience extended waiting times in the ED. The upgrade was undertaken in direct response to feedback received through the patient forum and reflects LUH's ongoing commitment to improving the patient and visitor experience within the emergency department. And no one wants to be in there because, you know, you don't turn up the ED for nothing. But it's good to see more comfortable seating. And I'm thinking particularly those maybe of the older generation, seeing them trying to get comfortable on those old seats, not a very nice thing. Don't know whatever happened to the seat covers. That was money seemingly down the drain. But now there are new seats. Quite a bit of work going on there, the building outside the ED as well. So maybe there'll be different traffic lanes going into that to try and make sure those in need are seen quickest. Hi, I just want to say, why do Donegal men say when mentioning their wives, the wife, instead of saying my wife, which is much warmer? Someone texted. They must have heard it and annoyed them. I don't hear that too much, to be honest with you. I was chatting to the wife. Well, maybe they do. Actually, it's an interesting one. Why do people say the wife? I don't think there's any harm in it. I don't think there's any sort of toxic masculinity in there. Maybe it's just dialect. Is it something that annoys you or that you notice? Or maybe there's other language that grinds your gears. Let us know. And I was commenting it was great for the people of Strabane, of course, and surrounds. People across the border, I presume, will benefit, whereby plans for a new state-of-the-art leisure centre, swimming pool, etc. went open to public consultation. They already have a facility there, but this is a new and upgraded one. And I mentioned in passing, you know, it's great to see progress there, but here we are, an entire peninsula the size of a county without a public swimming pool. And on this story goes. We are going to discuss this now because it did come up at a recent meeting of the Inishowen Municipal District. The last Cathaoirleach of that district is Councillor Fionnán Bradley. Good morning to you. Thank you for your time today.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners.
Right. Now, you brought a motion before the council calling on them to prioritise Buncrana Leisure Centre. Passed unanimously. I thought we were past this stage, no?
No, well, unfortunately not, Greg. So it was on foot of the report from Swim Ireland, which was published in the media recently, which was obviously condemning the number of public swimming pools which we had in the country. We have one pool for every 81,053 people, and I believe the average in Scotland is one to about every 14,407. So very obviously we're lagging way behind. But what irked me slightly about Swim Ireland's report was the fact that I really do feel that both they and the council were speaking out of both sides of their mouths. Swim Ireland have a very big role to play in relation to the provision of new public swimming pools by the Large Scale Sports Infrastructure Fund, because as the governing body for swimming in Ireland, they have to rank all swimming pool projects that apply for funding, and as do the local authorities and every local authority. So obviously back in 2024, Donegal County Council applied to the Large Scale Sports Infrastructure Fund, and they did include Buncrana Leisure Centre in the application, but they ranked it last. And Swim Ireland.
Who ranked it last?
Donegal County Council and Swim Ireland. Swim Ireland ranked, in terms of the number of pools that were applied for, Buncrana was last on Swim Ireland's list as well.
Out of how many?
It wasn't foot of that. It wasn't foot of Swim Ireland.
Sorry,
support.
But it ranked it last out of how many swimming pools? Sorry, Fionnán.
There were three swimming pools that Swim Ireland graded, and Donegal County Council graded two applications. And we were ranked last on both lists.
Go on, you wanted to continue there.
Yeah, no. So it was in front of Swim Ireland's report, where they were calling, you know, for more leisure centres to be provided throughout the country, and they were giving out about this. That I thought, well, you know, that's double speak right there in relation to that. And obviously, I was greatly concerned that Buncrana hadn't been a priority for in the last round of funding. So, in an effort to get all ducks in a row, Greg, in relation to Buncrana, to ensure that we're not left behind ever again, I looked to amend council policy. which was why I brought my motion forward yesterday. And as you've said, it was passed unanimously. So I'm delighted now that Buncrana is now and will from this point on be the number one priority for Donegal County Council in terms of our large
I thought it already was, though. I've done this story a million times now. I thought this was a Donegal County Council priority. You're saying it was playing second fiddle.
Yeah, oh, that's the fact of the case, Greg. Yeah, because obviously there was a furore whenever Buncrana wasn't given funding back in 2024. And listen, very rightly so. I was angrier than I would say anybody else in the town or in the peninsula of Buncrana. But when we delved into the reasons why, the grading from both the governing body of the sport, so in this case Swim Ireland, and from the local authority was what the department use to decide which applications get funding and which don't.
Stay there, so, Councillor. I'll come back to you. I want to bring your fellow councillor in, Councillor Jack Murray. What is your view on this motion from Fionnán, Jack? I understand that you sought to add some amendments to it.
Yeah, look, I supported the motion as Fionnán moved it. As you said, it's a reiteration of a motion that myself, other councillors in Buncrana would have moved for numerous years to ensure that Buncrana Leisure Centre was the priority for Donegal.
But just in relation to that, according to Fionnán, those motions then fell on deaf ears.
Greg, sorry to interject, I can't hear Councillor Murray at all.
Yeah, but you can't hear him. You should be
I thought he wasn't speaking. Sorry, I can't hear anything he's saying.
That's fine. He's not saying anything negative towards you. But the point I'm putting to Jack Murray here is that Fionnán Bradley has identified that this project was by both the council and LSSIF was not a priority. So those early emotions clearly fell on deaf ears.
Yeah, and you see, that's where I find it bizarre that a Fianna Fáil councillor would be coming on to say that it wasn't a priority for the council. Because, like, for the majority of that time, Fianna Fáil were the largest party on Donegal County Council. They had a Fianna Fáil councillor in Buncrana, and I think Rena Dunne was a very, very diligent councillor, and I would have worked with her very strongly on ensuring this as a priority. So I think it does a disservice to all of us to say that this somehow wasn't a priority, and this is the reason that it went ahead. And look, Fionnán now is...
Just stay there for a second. Fionnán, I'm not sure if you can pick up what Councillor Murray is saying there now, but he's saying that, you know, your predecessor, Rena Donaghy, and others had ensured this was a priority for Donegal County Council, so you were pushing an open door yesterday.
Well, sorry, I genuinely can't hear anything, Councillor
Murray. I understand
Murray
that you've said that, but we'll just work through it as best we can. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, on that point, I do think it's terribly unfair to be naming people who are no longer in public office. I mean, it's...
Well, he was saying
he was speaking on behalf of anybody else.
He was praising Rena Donaghy.
The proof of the pudding, Greg, is in the eating. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. With the applications that Donegal County Council submitted to the Large Scale Sports Infrastructure Fund, the simple fact of the matter is this. Buncrana Leisure Centre ranked last. On the list that Donegal County Council submitted, it ranked last. That's a statement of fact. That's not my opinion, that's a statement of fact. When Donegal County Council ranked it last, and when the governing body of Swimming in Ireland, Swim Ireland, also ranked it last, that is the clearest indication that Buncrana Leisure Centre has not, up until this point, been a priority for either Donegal County Council or Swim Ireland. So regardless of what happened before, regardless of what talking happened, regardless of what pontificating happened or what motions were submitted, clearly they were all ignored, and clearly the council did not prioritise Buncrana Leisure Centre.
Okay, okay.
Can I come back?
Yes,
on
please.
That.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So I find the whole thing bizarre that Fionnán has now announced that somehow this is now a priority and he's got some magic bullet that this has happened. As you'd indicated there, at this moment of time, Donegal County Council has exactly one application to Large Scale Sports and Infrastructure Fund, is the Buncrana Leisure Centre. So it hasn't jumped from last to first. It remains our only application. So very, very clearly a priority. And I also think it does a disservice to his own minister that he says that the minister cannot deliver funding for leisure centres unless Swim Ireland gives him the go-ahead or unless it meets some criteria in Donegal County Council. Now, I've asked for the scoring matrix for how they made that decision, and they've been unavailable. So I would expect that the Minister for Sport has the final say on this.
Okay, and I just stay there, Jack.
There's something else I just want to add to. So since the large-scale sports and infrastructure fund, where we're saying the Bull Crana was listed as number three, just to go through this, these are all announcements from Charlie McConnell. Eden Dairy Swimming Pool, €8.9 million. Ask Keaton, Pool and Leisure Centre, County Limerick, €1.265 million. Just last week, Galway Regional Aquatic Project, €3.25 million. Sport Ireland Core Fund in 2026, €33 million. High Sport and Sport Funding 2026, €28.5 million announced nationally by Swim Ireland. Dormant Accounts Fund of €5 million, including €500,000 for walking and swimming. Women in Sport Programme, €4 million, including direct support for Swim Ireland. And just about 2 weeks ago, Mr. McConnell was down in Carrickmacross in County Monaghan, visiting the site for a new leisure centre, with his councillor saying he was full square behind it. There is a lot more than three priorities there. So that begs the question, if those projects can make it without being in the top three, why not Bull Crana? And why does the minister not have the power to make the decision himself? Because in Eden Derry, when it was welcomed, Thomas Byrne was claiming full credit. He wasn't saying, well done to Ireland, well done
to Bull Crana. Is Bull Crana swimming pool shovel ready? Is it ready to go?
At the Bull Crana swimming, it was getting taken to detailed design. It's got planning permission, a shovel ready.
It is shovel ready.
It'll be ready to tender. There's some detailed design. It'll be ready to go to tender in a number of months. But look, even on that point,
it's not ready. Can't be funded yet because it's not ready to be funded.
It can, because Eden Derry in County Offaly, which beat us on the Large Scale Sport and Infrastructure Fund, got €8.9 million, didn't even have a site. They didn't even know where they were going to put the swimming pool. And the old swimming pool that was there, it had gone on fire 9 months before it. At this point, we've been waiting over 9 years.
Yeah, but is it not advantageous for the council, though, to send a message to LSSIF that this project should be a priority regardless? You know what I mean? Whether we can argue whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4 or not on a priority list. It can only be positive, surely, that the message is sent to say, don't forget us, this is a priority, we're nearly ready to go. That's a good thing.
Absolutely. And this moment in time, it's not just a priority, it's the only application we have for that one. The only one.
Can I just clarify that? This project was not a priority for Donegal County Council, that it was ranked second. What is the other project ahead of it?
The project in the ATU, Greg, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was a new sports hub, I believe, within the ATU that was ranked number one. And when that was funded,
I'm sure I asked a question in relation to that at that time of that announcement, and I was told that doesn't necessarily mean one has priority over the other.
No, well, that has not been clarified, Greg.
Jack wants to clarify something. Go ahead.
I can clarify that. The ATU project was submitted as an application to the LSSAF before Bull Crana Leisure Centre. It was done so by the ATU, and it asked for support from Donegal County Council. So it was in first, so that's why it's set as number one. Now, they were asked then, which was one or two, and the council couldn't say demote that one because it would dismiss the importance of it all. But the only one that the council of its own making that made it to that it submitted was Bull Crana Leisure Centre.
Fionn, I'm not sure how much of you heard that, but listen, effectively...
I can't hear anything at all.
I understand. That's okay. He says you're a lovely chap. No, he didn't say anything negative. But my point being is he says that the reason that the leisure centre proposals for Letterkenny went ahead was because the application was ready and it was put in, that really the only show in town on the books right now is still Bull Crana.
Well, I mean, that is true, that the only show in town now is Bull Crana when the Letterkenny project has been funded. But I could hear you asking Councillor Murray if Bull Crana is shovel ready, and I have no idea what his answer was. But the truthful answer is that it absolutely is not. I mean, apart from the LSSIF application, the detailed design isn't yet complete. Now, thanks to Minister Charlie McConnell, the Department of Sport have given the council up to €2 million in funding to complete that detailed design work. But that is also only a part of it. Like, the swimming pool in Buncrana closed back in 2015, but yet and all, it was only in November of 2025, 10 years later, that the facility and that the land on which it stands was handed over to the council and put into public ownership. So up until that point, it was still owned officially by the co-op that had been set up to found the original leisure centre and to run it. So that was another problem in relation to funding the application. So my question yesterday, while I was putting my motion to the floor, is why was that work not done much sooner? Why did it take 10 years to guide the committee through the process of winding down the co-op, winding down the charity, and transferring the land and the building that's there now into state ownership? Because that had to happen before the department would be in a position to fund it. Any other project that was funded under the LSSAF was within state ownership. So there's more to the shovel-ready piece. And listen, the biggest chunk that is missing, Greg, still, that is still missing, is the match funding element. So no matter what project the council is a partner in, take the former town council office here in Buncrana that is now the innovation hub, take the old guard, the barracks that we're hoping to transform into the enterprise centre, take the Swan Park redevelopment. The council has to put its hand into its pocket and put match funding to whatever funding comes from the government department. We've had the director of finance.
Has the council not committed to that? I seem to have covered that a long time ago.
No, you might recall, Greg, back at the January meeting of the council, I had put forward a motion looking for a special meeting on capital projects, and that was in front of the budget negotiations last year. So we've had two of those meetings since, and at both meetings, the council executive have perfectly clearly indicated that we do not have the match funding for Buncrana, nor at this present minute in time, we do not have the capacity to raise it either. So my motion yesterday was an effort to bring all of that ahead.
One second,
Finan. I'm sure that we prioritize.
I get you. Jack Murray wanted to come in there. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, look, I think that's just completely false. First of all, there is funding there within Donegalka, the council to match fund that is required. And you would remember that Councillor Rena Donaghy...
Well, Fiona Bradley's literally just said that he's been to two meetings and the council have told him that the money isn't there nor the means to raise that money. He said that clearly.
No, that's not true. Fiona Bradley has repeatedly asked, is the money not there? And also, almost a gleeful hope that it wasn't there. So well, the government... So I have to say, it feels like so the government have a get-out of jail card here. It's not the case. It'll be a matter for the councillors.
Finan, I have to put this to him. Finan Bradley, Jack Murray says that he's of the view that you actually hope the funding is not there because it gives your minister, your government, a get out of jail card in paying for it. Surely that's not the case, is it?
Look, listen, Greg, that's absolute nonsense. And I really don't think that this should be a political issue. I'm all about facts. The facts are that the project has to be ready before the minister can fund it. I said this in the chamber yesterday, and I have no difficulty saying it on your show this morning. If Minister McConnell wrote the cheque today and handed it to the council, the facts of the matter are that we would have to say to a minister, thank you, but no thanks, because we haven't bothered to do our homework. We don't have our ducks in a row. Detailed design is not complete. We don't have the match fund. It's a fundamental aspect of any
capital
project.
Jack Murray, you wanted to clarify that?
I think that both those things
must be completed before the project can progress. And in the case of Buncrana, the detailed design will be complete thanks to Minister McConnell.
So just to be clear, are you saying, Finan, just to be clear, and I'll bring you in, Jack, Finan, are you saying that no major funding has been announced for any swimming pool in this country over the last couple of years that wasn't shovel ready?
To the best of my knowledge, Greg, to the best of my knowledge, or at the very least,
just because you don't know, it doesn't make it so.
If I could finish the point, Greg, to the best of my knowledge, certainly not to any project that wasn't in state ownership. Edenderry, for example, was owned by Offaly County Council. Something Buncrana has only been owned in terms of the building and the ground it's on since November 2025. That is a key point. For 10 years from the swimming pool closed until last November, it was not in public ownership. Why was that work not done?
Right. Well, there's a couple of things you wanted to clarify, Jack. I don't want anyone to feel I'm talking over them, but I'm trying to sort of interrupt between the two of you.
Edenderry in County Offaly was got €8.9 million, didn't even have a site. Never mind planning permission.
But it was in council ownership.
Never mind any of that. But that's irrelevant. They announced the money without even having a site. Like that's So that's a fact. So it can be done. Now, Fionnuala Tierney, and he said it on your radio yesterday, that if the money came, we'd have to say thanks, but no thanks. Now, I was very concerned that civil servants in the Department of Sport would be listening to that and see that as a deterrent. So, look, I spoke to the Director of Finance of the Council this morning. He says that's not the case. Absolutely not the case. Even if there wasn't enough match funding for the full list of projects within Donegal County Council, we would have to prioritise which ones would fall and which ones wouldn't. I can guarantee the 10 Sinn Féin councillors will vote to make Buncrana get the match funding, and I would hope that Fiona would do the same.
So why is it taking 10 years? Why is it taking 10 years for the swimming pool to go into council ownership? What foot dragging was going on there?
I just want to, and also, we don't even know that we need match funding. It is entirely within the gift of the Department of Sport and the Minister who resides in Inishowen to grant 100% funding. Yeah.
I think it's his discretion. I will say, just picking up on one thing you said, Jack, I think it's funny, any elected representative feel they are free to speak if they have concerns and not be afraid that a civil servant might be listening to them. Do you know what I mean? If there are real concerns, they need to be expressed. Why is it taken until 2025 to bring this facility into council ownership?
I can clarify that. But I still think it's bizarre that a government party rep who's very closely working with the Minister for Sport would come onto the radio and say, if we got funding now, we'd have to say thanks, but no thanks. Mm. Rather than saying, we are ready to go, give us the funding. And he resisted my amendment to the motion, which called on the government to release the funding, which I think is extraordinary.
Let me ask you, why is it taking until 2025 for the swimming pool, for the leisure centre, the land to come into council ownership? One of the key elements, really, for progressing this, what has taken so long?
And that's still ongoing. There's been ongoing issues between the committee that have run the leisure centre and had ownership of the leisure centre with the county council. And it's mainly been concerns about the funding and the purpose of it, because at no point have we ever been granted full funding to build the leisure centre. The committee had been clear throughout that entire process that they would do it. They were happy to transfer it on the proviso that it was going to be a leisure centre and would receive full funding.
That's if you're going looking for funding and you say, oh well, they'll give us it if you give us the funding. That's not very professional, is it?
Look, it's not my decision, but that's the reality of it. But the most glaringly obvious problem is we don't have money. That is the be-all and end-all. Mm. We would have Buncrana Leisure Centre rebuilt back in 2015 if any government minister in that time had released the money. Right. We've been delayed after delay, and the costs have continued to spiral, getting bigger and bigger and harder to achieve because no government minister has stepped up to do it. And yesterday, Donegal County Council, through Fionnuala Bradley, blocked my amendment calling on the government to fund it, which I just find it extraordinary.
Councillor, do you stand by your comments that if there was an announcement of money now from central government or whoever it comes from, that we'd have to say thanks but no thanks? You stand by that statement?
Are you referencing me, Greg? Sorry.
Yes, Fionnuala Bradley, yeah.
Listen, Greg, I absolutely do, because I deal in facts, only in facts, and I'm repeating myself now. On two occasions since March, I have sat in Lufford in front of the council executive where they have clearly indicated to every one of the 37 councillors that we do not have the match funding nor the capacity to raise it. The Director of Finance quite clearly stated that he has to sign a letter before any capital funding is awarded to the council for a capital project, stating that the council has the match funding or the ability to get it to that capital project. He cannot say
but not the entire amount, I presume, and I think Councillor Murray referenced this. He might not be able to sign off for the full amount, but certainly I presume we could come up with enough match funding to get the project going.
Yeah, Greg, I can only go by what the council officials and the finance
you have to ask the question. You know, you have to ask the question and say to them, we might not have all of the money now, but is there a mechanism whereby we can provide some match funding to get this ball rolling? You didn't ask that question, though.
But ultimately, you see, that's within the power of the councillors. That's not.
I know, but you're telling the public. This is quite important because you're bypassing all of that, right, and just giving us one angle on it, which is your angle that we don't have all of the money right now. Of course.
That's the council executive who told the councillors.
Yes, but
that's
my point
not my
is,
opinion. That's fact.
Could you ask? Is there a mechanism whereby we could provide some match funding to get this project up and running and off the ground? He says you didn't ask that, and you say that's up to the council.
No, no. So the answer the council executive gave is that we have no capacity to increase or borrow in for match funding for any new projects. That's, they were quite clear, quite unambiguous in relation to that.
I thought this is what the LPT was for, to be honest.
Sorry, if I could make the point, Greg, it is entirely up to and within the remit of the councillors of Donegal County Council to adopt a budget and to have budget negotiations before a budget is adopted around what is and isn't their priorities. So my request to all 37 members is that in this year's budget, we prioritise match funding for capital
Can
projects.
Can I just clarify so something, Councillor Murray, because my head's hurting. One second, I'll come back to you. But I'll come back to you. Yeah, go ahead then quickly, if you don't mind.
So that if and when the capital funding does come from the department and from the minister, that we do have our ducks in a row and that we are able to proceed with the project. I want no further delays. Yeah. I want no further foot dragging. And I really want no further nonsense over this project. It is time for action and hard work now. And I'm calling on everybody to pull together.
I get you.
It's not a party political issue.
No, I understand that. Yeah. Councillor Murray, is my head going? I thought this project was included in budgets. Because
it is in our capital budget. Very clearly,
yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm sure I've covered that. Now I'm starting to wonder.
Sean, he's dealing with facts. He's not. He's actually not. I spoke to the Director of Finance this morning and said it isn't the case. This is categorically true. It isn't the case that if we were given funding, we'd have to say thanks but no thanks. We would have it. We would find it and we would get it and we would deliver it. Listen. And even at that, and this is a key point. Even if it wasn't the case, the department has the ability to fund it 100%.
Right, okay.
And the Minister for Sport resides in his own, he's Fionnuala's party colleague, and he has the power to do so. So we shouldn't be coming in and making excuses. And look, there's a contradiction to what Fionnuala's saying as well. On one hand, he's saying that he has this motion yesterday, which has made it a priority, and look where all systems go. And then on the other side of his mouth, he's saying, oh, well, we can't fund it, so it's not happening anyway.
Well, listen, we need to come up with solutions to get this project. Well, both of you are saying we need to come up with solutions and we need to work together. So hopefully we can. We need to get clarification from the council directly in terms of the funding of this. For now, Councillor Jack Morey, thank you very much. Councillor Fionnuala Bradley, both of you, thank you very much indeed. We had a slight disadvantage there in that Councillor Fionnuala Bradley couldn't hear Councillor Murray. So if you thought I was cutting across, it was to make sure that everyone had fair reply to each of those statements. Each of those statements without being able to hear each other, if that makes sense. Right. Sorry for holding you. Jade O'Neill Doherty. Good morning to you, Jade.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. I've been following this story for quite some time. I'm not intimately affected by it, but after that last conversation, I feel we're further away than I thought we were from a new leisure centre. Really quite confused with it all. You've set up a campaign Facebook page calling for the advancement of Buncrana Leisure Centre. What's your feelings now?
Do you know what? I just feel like everyone in Buncrana is waiting on response from Jack and Fionn, you know, and Brenda Donaghy. Just it's what we listen to them. So I thought I'd set up the page so it's a more voice coming from the public and towards the campaign. You know, like they say, the reason why we need it so badly, it's not just for politics or, you know, money from the government. It's a necessity in the seaside town that all our children learn how to swim.
Yeah, you know firsthand to the reality of not having this facility, especially with school-going aged children. So can you give us an example of what the implications of that are?
Well, my youngest children, one of them actually hasn't learned how to swim yet because he's not at the age for the school lessons.
Yeah.
The school takes them on a bus on a Friday up to Derry for a six-week block. And they miss the whole day at school because they're off learning swimming, which is great for the school to do that. But they shouldn't have to. They should be just be able to go on the road and spend 2 hours swimming and then back out to do the school lessons. My oldest son, he can swim, but he's not that advanced at swimming. You know, he can do the basics. But he's going swimming today with his friends at Ned's Point, and my anxiety will be through the roof all day worrying about him. You know, I'll be out checking, making sure he's all right, you know, and he wouldn't be that confident, but you can't hold him back either. That's what all his friends are away doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you understand what it's like to have that facility close. Your kids don't, but you're old enough, are you, to remember when you did have access to the old swimming pool?
Oh, I do. I grew up every week in school. We went lessons. I think actually we might have went twice a week, swimming lessons. Swimming lessons. And then as we got older, it was our thing to do with our friends. Every Friday we'd go swimming. For the loom used to give out vouchers to family members, and I think they cost like £1 or £1.50 to go swimming. And it was just the highlight of things to do in Bunkrana growing up, but it made us great swimmers. Like I can swim wonderfully, and I wouldn't panic in water, where, you know, when I look at my oldest daughter, she can swim, but she would panic after a while, you know, like it's just bred into us to swim, you know. It was just a natural thing. It was like mandatory. You done swimming lessons and you learn, and that was it.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, we are a coastal county for the most part, in Inishowen, particularly coastal, surrounded by water, and then there's the inland water as well. And we get every summer these warnings about safety in the water and all that type of stuff. There's a strong argument, and I think actually you mentioned this yourself as a glance down here. It's not just the crack, you know, it's really a life skill that kind of is essential for living in a county like ours.
It's definitely a life skill. Do you remember the wee boy in Australia last year? He swam a couple of hours to save his family on a boat. Remember that there story should have been a highlight for a start, because that's the way everyone that lives in a seaside town should know how to swim. They should know how to do that, like, because like that was amazing what that young boy done. But it's because he probably learned from a young age that skill of swimming. Like,
right, okay.
So I thought if by Facebook, you know, the power of social media is wonderful. So if we can put pressure, or like just highlight the need, then maybe that might put pressure on the council and the government to step up. And
what's the name of the Facebook page in case people want to log on?
It's just Bunkrana Leisure Centre Campaign.
Okay.
No, I'm not political at all. I just, as a muller, I just thought I could help this way, and maybe we can start protesting or something simple, like just to help push it on.
You'll achieve far more not being political than you would political, so I see that as an advantage, Jade, rather than disadvantage. Listen, well done for what you're doing. You have to try and, you know, do as much as we can, and that's what you're doing. Look after yourself. Thank you, Jade O'Neill Doherty there. 086 60 25,000. After that interview, it's easy to see what party Greg votes for. Which one is it, though? I'm apolitical, but I'd be interested to see who you felt I was favouring there, just for the crack. Text us back in there. Hi, Greg. Is Fionnuala coming on trying to gain points about an issue that has not been supported by his party colleague over the past 10 years? Unbelievable, coming in from Liam. Greg, great discussion on Bunkrana Leisure Centre. Shows why our local government doesn't work. If this was in another minister's constituency, it would be sorted. That's what Daniel thinks. Back in the day, I don't have to mention any names, but if you had a portfolio, like sport or what have you, you know, you were able to bring lots of goodies to your local area, your very local area. Are those days gone? Inishowen, if this is what we are depending on to represent us, it's no wonder we'll never see a swimming pool. Another, I'm a member of the public, was at the meeting for the Bunkrana swimming pool. Two councillors were present, and a senior official with Donegal County Council confirmed that the swimming pool is not shovel ready. Jack is avoiding the question. But what Jacqueline Murray says is that there's other pools down the country that haven't even got planning permission, and they received significant funding. So it's not a prerequisite for a project to be fully shovel ready to get funding. That's the impression I got from Councillor Murray's comments. The money that was spent on that ridiculous Bunkrana sign should have went towards the swimming pool. Are you on about the sign? Are you on about the sign on the entrance to the town? I love that. But so still, I remember when it was first launched and people were dead against it. I thought, what? Like, you see that picture everywhere now. You search Google for Bunkrana and that sign comes up. If that's the same sign, I thought it was a great addition, but what do I know? Another, just councillors passing a motion unanimously doesn't mean it's council policy. The executive is the last say, of course, but you do hope these things would put pressure on the executive. Councillors in Bunkrana never pull together. That's why Bunkrana does not progress. 100% true. Certainly back in the town council days, I always thought it was very refreshing how Bunkrana town councillors tended to work together. And I've said that, I referenced that over the years, but it seems at this point on this issue, not so. And a Bunkrana Leisure Centre story again here, where we are disgusted with no swimming pool in Bunkrana, which I put down to poor councillors in our areas in these vital in these vital years. Let's wrap up on that. We've kind of dedicated an hour to this, but I suppose it's a big, big story for Inishowen. Isn't the solution for Buncrana to have a swimming pool for the local minister to do his job and set out a clear roadmap on how to build the swimming pool with government money? The money will come out of the public purse anyways. The bureaucracy is astounding, as usual, on how to get a well-needed public amenity and service that will enhance the lives of people in all ages, backgrounds, etc. Plus, it will enhance the mental and physical health of the community. Isn't this government policy, they ask? Another, when Fruit of the Loom was in Buncrana, hot water was available to heat the pool. Now they don't want to pay the costs to heat the place. A pool was built in Letterkenny and there is a pool in Derry, so they don't care about Inishowen. Look at, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in terms of from when the last pool opened to when a new one might open. Technology has changed drastically. The cost of the project has changed. But that's the same for every pool in the country. You know, all of a sudden we start talking about inflated costs and this, that, then inflation and all that. But that is, there's still millions of euro being announced for swimming pools and leisure centres around the country. Why not for Buncrana? You know, I mean, I know the council potentially lead out on this in terms of having the project ready, but I listened to one of those comments there, I thought it was a good one. Why doesn't the government, or the local minister for that matter, set out a roadmap for the delivery of this project, which would be a game changer for people? Imagine taking a day out of school to go to a swimming pool in Derry. You know, I mean, that is in 2026. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Sometimes people just want to vent and they contact the show and that's fine. Someone said earlier on, why did Donegal fellas refer to their other half as the wife? Well, this caller said, I hate the expression, the wife. It's on a par with the dog or on a par with the dog or the cat, says the listener. Good morning, Greg. Can we have a discussion on rewards cards, plus rewards that supermarkets have? I think food should be the same price for everyone, no matter if you have a rewards card or not. Would love to know what other people think. Thank you, Mary. I don't know, Mary. It's not something the shop that's close to me has quite a convoluted system whereby you have to sort of look through what you might buy and then activate it. And then other times it's like convert your points into cash. I find it very hard to follow, to be honest with you. But I do know there are some other big stores, Dunnes, for an example, whereby people, you know, very cleverly utilise the vouchers they get for their shopping. So I don't know. Is it too complicated? Should they just cut the food down to what they can sell it for? You see, they're trying to drive loyalty, Mary, you know, because it is a very competitive market. I mean, you can throw a blanket over four or five big supermarkets in one area, and I suppose they're all trying to vie for the custom. So the way they do that is through rewards rather than the level playing field of everyone with the lowest prices. I don't know. We'll throw it out to see if it's something that listeners want to talk about. Why is there no discussion, says another listener, about the influence of rallying on young men's driving in Donegal? Rural roads are so dangerous now in the weeks before the rally, but the Gardaí and the media ignore this so businesses can profit. I can't speak for the Gardaí, but we discuss this all of the time. One of the most recurring conversations on this programme is road safety. Because I do not enjoy interviewing a guard looking for witnesses to a fatal road traffic collision. Do you think I would, I hope you don't think I would in any way be guided on what we discuss because there's a rally going on? I've fallen foul of big events in the past because I didn't say, you know, necessarily the most positive thing for them. I recognise the rally is one thing. The rally is incredibly well organised. People that go to the rally are very respectful, very well behaved for the most part. It's a very controlled sport, a controlled environment. The preparation on it happened months and months and months ago. What happens is people not associated with the rally, but like cars, might all of a sudden, you know, land into the county or take the cars out of the shed and start donutting and speeding around the place. They're two different things. You know, there's one's an official sporting event. It's like hooliganism in football. You know, you've got football fans and you've got hooliganism, but you don't ban the football, you deal with the hooligans. And that's what they're trying to do. And I think last year was one of the biggest operations by On Garda Síochána Khan as they try and change behaviour and maybe get the message down the country that it's not a free-for-all if you come to County Donegal around that time. I want to go to David now, talking about medical costs, because David, you are very kindly looking after someone in your life who has cancer, but you're noticing increased costs for them. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Right, so what is the situation?
The situation is we're the richest country in the EU, and the government's decided now to put on €20 charge for a blister pack for an old-age pensioner. So the blister pack is actually to keep them from taking the wrong tablet at the wrong time or on the wrong day or anything like that. That's a real good thing to have. But costing a pensioner €20 a month along with a charge for their medicine, I think it's ridiculous.
Mm. Did you mention this to the pharmacy? Because I'm not sure if...
They were really upset that they had to tell me that I had to give them another €20 that day they went out to collect the medicine.
Mm. The lady doesn't have a medical card, I take it?
She has a medical card.
Okay. I would have thought that she should qualify for...
No.
Okay.
No, blister pack. No, not for the blister pack. No, she doesn't. She doesn't qualify for that. Like, they're putting millions away in a slush fund for Ireland... they're charging an old lady €20.
Mm. I'm just looking at the notes. A note here that if you have a medical card, you will get them for free, but it's to manage complex medications, dementia, or an intellectual disability. It's free then. So obviously, you know, she's dealing with cancer, and it doesn't obviously fall into that category.
No, it doesn't fall into that category. And, like, it's hard enough for them to try and keep... pay for oil and feed themselves at the minute and keep a house running without taking €20 for a blister pack out of their pension.
One other way they can be free, and I just want to make sure, you probably know all this, David, but I just want to make sure that her case is not falling through the cracks. If you had a medical card and you were receiving the blister packs for free before August 25, she should, if that was the case, she should continue
she
to
was.
Receive. Well, she should continue then to receive them free of charge. So I think that would be something well worth bringing up with the pharmacist because she.
Right.
It sounds to me like she should qualify for the free blister packs that under this most
right.
recent announcement.
I'll go into the pharmacist today and I'll ask them about that.
Okay.
But like...
It's called the grandfather rule, by the way, just so you know when you're speaking to them. So it's anyone holding a medical card or GP visit card who was already receiving their blister packs for free in August 2025 will continue to receive them free of charge, ensuring vulnerable patients aren't suddenly hit with new fees. That's coming
right.
from the government website, David.
Right. I'll be with them in about 10 minutes and shouldn't ask them.
Well, that's good.
And I'll let you know how I get on with.
I'm on air to 11. I want to find out because it's not fair. And what you're doing, David, is something that's very, very important. And I'm realizing this more and more is advocating for someone. You're doing not only caring for someone, but advocating for them. And I'll tell you, people that have someone to advocate for them are doing far better than those that don't. So I hope you're proud of yourself because you're doing a fantastic thing. And let us know, David, will you? And we can chase it up further and work with you on this to see what we can figure out.
Okay.
All right. Look after yourself. Bye-bye. A caller says, medical card or not, you still have to pay for blister packs. It's an utter disgrace. Some people don't have to. And I read there from gov.ie in relation to that grandfather rule, or indeed if it's drugs where I think it probably is a risk of taking the wrong medication where it could badly damage you or where you could potentially overdose. It's a complicated area, but we've got David on the scene. He's going to go and talk to his pharmacist and we'll see what the situation is. If you have, because this might be worth us doing a Q&A with a pharmacist, if you have any questions or there's any confusion about the blister packs and you think it's worth us trying to get some clarity for you, that's exactly what we're here for, right? So, and it's a lot of different people are affected, a lot of people vulnerable or sick and maybe aren't watching every single little bit of information that they need to watch. So if that is something you think we need to do, please text us in with your questions and we will, if there's enough of them, we'll get them together and get answers. If there's just a few, we'll still get answers, but we can probably do that sort of on the phone with someone, if that makes sense. So I want to get to the bottom of that for you. David's on the scene there with us, so for us to let us know what the crack is at his local pharmacy. On the Buncrana Leisure Centre, Swilly Sisters Shed have swimming sea lessons or sea swimming lessons starting on Saturday the 6th of June in Rathmullen, supported by Donegal's partnership and led by Tonta Swim. Due to cancellations, there are a few vacancies. So for details, Nolene will contact us. We've got Nolene's contact details. And if you are interested, from Saturday the 6th of June in Rathmullen, sea swimming lessons, we'll get in touch. Now, the sea is, even in June, can be a bit chilly, and that's not going to be for everyone. But listen, Nolene, thank you very much indeed. We'll try and get those places filled. A caller thought I was favouring Jack. No, well, I don't know. Listen back to it, and listen even maybe to some remarks earlier on in the show. I appreciate you getting back to me, by the way, and I do like the feedback. No, I wasn't favouring Jack. I just, maybe because I was confused that I did interviews with Jack Murray in the past whereby I thought we had got past all of this stuff. Maybe it came across like I was, but no, I just want, I don't favour anyone. I just want the people of Buncrana to have a swimming pool. Another caller says, not at the entrance, the ridiculous sign on the front shore on our lovely green. Ah, okay, right, I get you. I don't know if I can remember that one off the top of my head.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
All right, 20 past 10 on this Tuesday, the 26th of May, 2026. Time for this week's Community Garda information. And I have in studio with me Garda Fina McMenamin from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Fina, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Good morning.
Right, we'll get straight into it and we'll start with appeals. We'll start with a road traffic collision in Letterkenny, Fina.
Yeah, so Greg, Garda investigating a road traffic collision involving a vehicle and a cyclist that occurred at Bunagee, Letterkenny, on the N13 on Thursday the 21st of May, shortly before 3:40pm. The cyclist was transported to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment for serious but non-life-threatening injuries following the collision. The driver of the vehicle was not injured. We appeal to anyone who may have witnessed the collision to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074 916 7100. If anyone travelled in the area of Lurgybrack with a dash cam around that time, we ask them to make this footage available to us also.
Okay, and investigations ongoing in relation to a road traffic collision in the south of the county, Fianna.
Yes, Gardaí are investigating a collision involving two cars that occurred on the N15 at Ballintra on Tuesday the 19th of May at approximately 11:40am. One of the cars was travelling from Ballyshannon towards Donegal Town on the N15, and the second car was on the N15 turning onto the OR231, the Rosnaula Road, when the collision occurred. The passenger of one of the cars was taken to Sligo University Hospital to receive treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. The driver of that car did not require medical treatment. The driver and the passenger from the second car were also taken to Sligo University Hospital to receive medical treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. We wish to speak to anyone who may have witnessed the collision or who may have travelled along that stretch of the N15 around that time with dash cam. Gardaí and Ballyshannon can be contacted on 071-985-8530 in connection with the incident.
Yeah, a very busy stretch of road, so surely someone will have further information there. We're going to go to Inishowen now. Investigations ongoing into a burglary.
Yeah, we are appealing for the assistance of the public in connection with a burglary that occurred at a property in the area of Bunamain, Bridgend, between 4pm on Thursday the 21st of May and 7am on Friday the 22nd of May. A shed panel was forced open and entry was gained. Four DeWalt batteries and a DeWalt 4-point charger were stolen from the shed. We appeal to anyone who may have observed any type of suspicious activity, vehicles or people in that area between those times to get in touch with Gardaí in Buncrana on 074 9320 540. And if anyone can assist with relevant information, they may alternatively contact the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111.
Now, there was a theft from a vehicle in Letterkenny a few days ago. In fact, it's last week at this point.
Yeah. Greg, Gardaí are seeking information in relation to a theft incident that occurred at Letterkenny Town Park on Tuesday the 19th of May between approximately 7:40pm and 8:30pm. A car was parked in the car park at that location and the owner of the vehicle went for a run. When he returned, he discovered that the front passenger side window of his car had been smashed. A grey JanSport backpack containing a silver Lenovo IdeaPad Flex 5 laptop and a wallet containing some bank cards had been stolen from within the car. Our appeal is to anyone who may have been in the area of Letterkenny Town Park between 7:30pm and 9pm with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. If anyone observed any suspicious activity in that in the area that evening. We asked them to get in touch with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074 916 7100, and should anyone come across a similar type laptop for sale on a second hand basis, we ask them to alert Gardaí so the matter can be checked out.
Yeah, and theft from a vehicle being investigated in Bundoran too.
Yeah, we're appealing for witnesses in connection with a theft incident that Kearns Lane, Bundoran, on Monday the 25th of May between 10:15pm and 10:20pm, so short window there. An unlocked vehicle was entered between those times and a purse containing cash was stolen from within. The purse was recovered later, but the cash had been removed from it. We appeal to anyone who may have travelled in the area of Kearns Lane, the Sea Road or Main Street with a dash cam between 10pm and 11pm to make the footage available to investigating Gardaí. Contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530 with any relevant information.
Now, criminal damage being investigated in Newtown Cunningham.
Yeah. Gardaí are investigating an incident of criminal damage that occurred at a derelict house in the area of Ballyhosky, Newton Cunningham, between 8pm on Thursday the 21st of May and 6pm on Friday the 22nd of May. A number of windows of the house were smashed between those times. A toilet within the house was also smashed, as were various items of antique crockery. We appeal to anyone who may have observed any type of suspicious activity in that area between those times to get in touch with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074 916 7100.
All right, OK. Now, got a recruitment campaign. Now, think on here, because you could end up, if you are successful, sitting in front of me having to do this. So just keep that in mind if you are considering joining the force. Go ahead.
So, the Garda recruitment campaign opened on Monday the 11th of May there and will remain open until Wednesday the 3rd of June at 3pm. Applications may be submitted via www.publicjobs.ie. And a Garda recruitment information stand will be held at the Corchair Shopping Centre in Letterkenny today, Tuesday the 26th of May, between 1pm and 2pm. Everyone is welcome to call in to get more information. If you're not available today, feel free to call into any Garda station if you have any questions about the current recruitment campaign, and keep an eye on the Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page also for any information in relation to it.
How long have you been a guard now?
I'll be in Letterkenny 7 years now.
Seven years, that long, right? So you're a long from a long way since you you stepped out, or whatever the terminology is. A career you would recommend, obviously.
Yeah, I enjoy it now, to be fair. There's great variety in it, and the shifts as well. Like, you have a lot of time off as well. The four on, four off, like 4 days off, is quite appealing.
Yeah, and when you know, because you can do what you can do.
I can work out what I'm working for the next few years if I wanted to,
excellent.
You know.
Okay, well, that's another tick in that box. All right, check out Garda Síochána Facebook page. Or go to those recruitment information stands, the one at Courtyard Shopping Centre. And I know people do turn up and ask a few questions, and people like Garda Fina here, more than happy to answer them honestly for you. Now, the Donegal Garda Youth Awards 2026 were launched last week, and applications still being sought.
Yeah, so the annual Donegal Garda Youth Awards celebrate outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 years from throughout Donegal. On Garda Síochána in Donegal, in conjunction with Supermax and the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town, recognise that a lot of good work is being done by young people in every community in Donegal. Awards will be considered for the nominated young people who, by their presence, make their communities a better place to live in. The nomination process is now open, and on Garda Síochána in Donegal is now inviting the public to nominate a young person they know who is committed to making a difference in their community. Nomination forms can be picked up from any Garda station, and a copy of the form may also be requested by emailing dg.gardayouthawards@garda.ie, or it may be downloaded from the Garda website at www.garda.ie. The application form is also available in Irish upon request. When the form is completed, please submit it via email to the email address above, or post it to Garda Grania Doherty, Letterkenny Garda Station, Newline Road, Letterkenny, County Donegal. And please have your nomination submitted by 12pm on Tuesday, July the 7th. An awards event will take place later this year at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town.
Mm-hmm. All right, brilliant stuff. And I'm a big fan of that, as I've said in the show before and I've said online. If you've got a young person in your life, and we have an amazing crop of young people in this county, wouldn't it be lovely for them to be recognised? And it's a great boost for them, the morale, their CV, everything. So I really would encourage you to get onto the website, download that form, or call into your local Garda station. And I will say that the awards night is a wonderful event as well. Now, we're heading into a public holiday, of course. We're just off the back of one there was an awful lot of traffic with people coming in from Northern Ireland, etc. It's a bank holiday in the Republic this coming weekend, and we're going to mention it again because, unfortunately, we know statistically we are inclined to see more serious injury, more deaths on our road, and the absolute majority of those are avoidable if we listen to Fina now. So what is the message?
So Greg, as we approach the June bank holiday weekend, we wish to make our usual appeal to all road users to please behave responsibly. We advise all drivers to slow down, to wear a seatbelt, and to ensure that their passengers are also wearing theirs, and to keep their phone out of reach while driving. Just keep your full attention on the road at all times. Over the past week in Donegal, there have been 10 arrests for drink and drug driving related offences. We urge drivers to never drive while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Please arrange a lift home in advance if you intend to go socialising over the bank holiday weekend or get a taxi home. Never get into a car as a passenger with anyone whom you think may have consumed alcohol or drugs. As always, Gardaí will be out on the roads this upcoming bank holiday weekend, operating high visibility checkpoints and speed checks. Do not risk losing your licence by taking unnecessary risks on the roads. More importantly, do not risk your life or the lives of others by making poor decisions. If this hot spell of weather continues, the beaches and many scenic areas across Donegal are likely to be very busy over the weekend. We ask everyone to ensure that they have parked in a responsible manner. Please do not block access for emergency vehicles. By blocking access, you could be putting lives at risk. Obstruction is an offence under the road traffic legislation, and your vehicle is liable to be seized and would then be subject to an impound fee. So please think before you park.
Yeah, just in relation to that, and it depends where you are in the county, and we're not going to get into specifics, but unfortunately, bus routes are being disrupted, Garda time's being wasted, the public's time's being wasted. You know, people can have a one-track mind of get the car parked as close to the beach or whatever and just get down and have fun, but there are consequences for that. So really, as Fina said, you know, we have to be careful where we park to make sure there's adequate space, firstly, that it's not illegal, but also that there's adequate space for buses, but also emergency vehicles. Can you imagine the size of a fire engine or indeed an ambulance? And I don't think anyone would want to be found responsible for blocking or delaying that. Also, of course, Fina, it's very easy. I do this all the time. It can slip your mind not to leave stuff on show.
Yeah.
Right. So whether you're going for a walk at Ards, the town park, Merva Beach, wherever it might be, make sure there's, you've got some advice, I presume, for us, you know, if we're parking our vehicles up.
Yeah. So you see from our two appeals earlier on there's been two thefts from vehicles in the last week alone. So ensure that you lock your vehicle if leaving it unattended. Do not leave cash or valuables in your vehicle if possible, and do not leave anything on show that might tempt an opportunistic thief. Report any suspicious activity in the car parking areas to Gardaí immediately. We may be reached on a 24/7 basis over the bank holiday weekend in Letterkenny on 074 916 7100. In Milford on 074 915 3060, in Buncrana on 074 932 0540, and in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. And always call 999 or 112 in the event of an emergency. And we just want to hope everyone has a very enjoyable and safe bank holiday weekend.
Brilliant stuff. How did you find that, your first time up with us?
It's grand.
Would you be nervous, no?
Huh?
Would you be nervous?
A little bit.
I'm just kind of thinking, right, so say, you know, you've got the eyes of the county watching you, you've lined out, right, you've got one kick really in the dying seconds to win Donegal the Ulster Championship. I presume it was much easier than that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that.
All right, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much. Have you played against Mayo for Donegal yet?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was okay. Like, it's been a good few years now since I played for Mayo, so I don't know as many of the girls, but we're actually due to play them now in the next few weeks again, so we'll see how we get it.
Sport is a funny way of throwing that stuff up, doesn't
it?
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, you're here in your official capacity as a guard, Fina. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate it. That's Garda Fina McManaman there, associated with the Letterkenny Garda Station. If you missed anything, by the way, in those appeals, it's going to be part of our podcast, of course, but also we'll repost it on our socials and on Garda Síochána, Donegal's Facebook page, a little later on, just in case you want to double check any details if you spotted something, or you might have dash cam and you need to recap. We'll have that up for you. And it'll be back for you live after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Now, moving on in the programme, I'm joined by Martin Markey, CEO of the Irish Hardware Association, and we're discussing a new report which found that thousands more one-off rural homes could be built each year. And of course, this potentially is has the potential to be good news for Donegal. Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, talk to me about the findings of this report from your association.
Well, I suppose this is the third in a trilogy of reports, Greg. A few years ago, we looked at empty homes, vacant properties, and we produced a suite of recommendations on that. And that has come into place. Last year, I think there were about 3,000, over 3,000 empty homes brought back to life. And I think Donegal is more or less topping the poll in fitting out or rejuvenating empty homes. So that's been a major success. Last year, we looked at above the shop properties, and recently, the Minister for Housing, Minister Brown, signed off a suite of incentives for that, and that will kick in probably in the latter half of this year and into next year, and it'll bring life and business back to all the towns and villages around the country. So, the most current issue that we're looking at are rural family homes. And if we go back to 2006, for example, there were over 23,000 rural family homes built in the country. Last year, it was 5,900, and it's been bumping around about between 5,000 and 6,000 for nearly the last 10 years, I suppose. So we decided we'd focus on it to find out, you know, what the potential was in the market and also what the blockages were in the market. So we spoke to key stakeholders in the sector. So we spoke to politicians, we spoke to estate agents, we spoke to our own members who are builders, merchants and building materials manufacturers. And we spoke to architects and people working in the local authorities. And the report highlights the fact that there's a huge level of demand for rural family homes in the country.
Though, if you look at Donegal, for an example, I mean, in terms of building in our rural areas or indeed along the likes of the N56, it's incredibly, incredibly strict. Even if there are national changes in policy, how long will it take before local authorities, their own local development plans align with that, or could they be amended almost immediately?
Well, what does need to be amended? Look, when we did the research, we weren't quite sure what was going to come out of it. I thought it may be a financial issue, because if you look at empty homes, the key to unlocking that is a financial incentive, a good grant, and that's what we have. Likewise, with above the shop, again, the key incentive is a good grant. This is very different. This is very different because almost all of the respondents to the survey coalesced around one finding and focused on one thing. And that one thing is a regulation that's called local housing need. And that is, at the moment, that is blocking literally thousands of homes being built around the country. So I suppose our main recommendation is that regulation be at least stood down. If nothing else, we'd like to see it gone, I think, at this point. But it's a major blockage in terms of building rural family homes. In terms of the timeline, I don't know, quite frankly. I know this is going to Cabinet over the next couple of weeks. They are looking at the rural family homes as a potential opportunity in housing. So hopefully, I like what I'm hearing so far. So hopefully over the next few weeks there will be a decision on that, and that will be rolled out.
Just to give our listeners an idea of the current requirements in Donegal, a map and air code verifying your current historical address in relation to the proposed site, long-term utility bills, school records or rent books verifying family residency, proof of local employment or proof of active farming, a formal bona fide letter from an elected member of Donegal County Council. So that really is a series of requirements that is really designed to completely almost prevent rural housing. I mean, people surely should have the choice, should they not? If they choose to raise a family or live in rural Ireland to be able to do so, you know, rather than trying to herd us into urban areas. You know, I mean, we have a housing shortage. If people want to build houses that they're going to live in these areas, why not?
Well, I absolutely fully agree with that. I was, you know, case in point, I was speaking to one of our members in the southwest recently, and he has a house. He wants to build a house in the local area, but the fact that he's not from the local area, no, he's only from 15 miles away. He's only from 15 miles away, so he can't. He's been told he will, on no conditions, be granted planning permission to build his own house, and it's having huge impact. The fact that these houses are not being built is having a huge impact as well. Again, speaking to another builder's merchant, a member of ours recently, he said that in his own catchment area, which is not that big, he's lost 10 young trades professionals who have emigrated to Australia in the last year and a half. So we're now even compounding a bad situation, which the challenge in housing is huge. So we're now compounding that by the people who can get us out of this hole emigrating because they can't get houses. So it has a very negative spiral. And coming back to your statement there about the local rule. The last time I looked, we were supposed to live in a republic, so this rule has been enforced and enforced too much. The fact that it actually exists, I think, is very, very questionable.
Yeah, it's a good point. And also, of course, we do understand that there has to be some level of control over, you know, holiday homes potentially, right across the country. But I can identify a number of areas of Donegal. That being said, often it seems it's easier in these areas for people from outside the area to get planning than someone from within it. It's a good time to have a look at what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what is best for the country as a whole, and move forward. That's the logical solution to this, isn't it?
It is. And if we're looking at Donegal last year, I think the demand for housing in Donegal has been 4,500 units. So that's kind of where we're at if you look at the population structure and where it's at. And last year there were less than 700 houses, new houses built in Donegal. So we really do need to look at all and every opportunity to overcome this housing challenge. And we would identify the rural family homes as a key to this. We would estimate nationwide, last year, as I said, there were about 6,000, less than 6,000 built. That could go to 12,000, and it could go there within a reasonable period of time as well. The demand is definitely there. This survey, and 90% of the respondents in the survey that we did said that there is a huge discrepancy between demand and supply. Demand is there, supply isn't.
Just generally, the local hardware store seems to be doing well. Is that the feedback you're getting from members? Obviously, listen, if there's more building activity, there's more business, but there always seems to be something going on. It seems a strong sector from the outside looking in.
Well, it's a resilient sector, and it is a strong sector, and things are going well at the moment, but they can also be going better, shall we say. You know, there is always capacity, and the sector can adapt to this. And like any other sector, what we want to see is good growth. And we've identified a number of opportunities in the marketplace, and two of them are going ahead. As I said, the empty homes and the above the shop, they're going ahead. This one we'd like to see go over the line over the next few months.
Yeah, well, this county that I'm talking to you from was one of the most active in terms of the vacant property grants, and I wouldn't be surprised if it contributed quite significantly to that number of new homes. I'm not sure if those figures are amalgamated, but anyway, we can sort that out another day. For now, Martin Markey, CEO of the Irish Hardware Association, thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
Right. Now, during Community Garda information, we were discussing about responsible parking. And I mentioned the fact that, you know, you can abandon your car effectively and you see it, that's what it looks like to get to the beach in this good weather. But you must consider, you know, fire brigade if they have to gain access somewhere, an ambulance. And also the fact that we have to live in this county, we have to get from A to B, and we rely on bus services to do that. Unfortunately, again, we're back talking about route disruption affecting Foyle coaches. Bernard McGuinness, manager of Foyle coaches Redcastle, is with me now. And you posted, Bernard, your team posted, due to inconsiderate parking, the N53 Greencastle to Letterkenny and N57 Greencastle to Derry will not serve Shrove for the rest of the day. Now, that's crazy that a scheduled bus service cannot go ahead because of inconsiderate parking. It's an embarrassment, isn't it? We should have a handle on this.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, there's a bit of an embarrassment, all right. This is becoming kind of an annual phone call between myself and yourself.
It is, yeah. I love chatting to you, but I'd like to talk about something else.
Yeah. It would be lovely, yeah, but unfortunately, it's just the same old thing again. I was quite reluctant when Caroline rang me there to go on this morning again, because it feels like it's kind of an embarrassment to us at this stage. But yesterday morning, we had an incident for our 12:30 services, the 953 going to Letterkenny and the 957 going to Derry from Inishowen. The 953 got blocked, basically he had squeezed through as far as he could, and then eventually he could go no farther, which resulted in that man's skills being taken to the limit, because he had to reverse about 700 metres to get the coach turned between cars parked on both sides of the road. Like, so it was just completely dangerous to start off with. And, I mean, as you were saying earlier, if there was ever an emergency, that emergency vehicles needed to get through down there, it just wouldn't happen. Later on the day, I went down to check it, and it was still as bad. And then in the afternoon, at about 4:15 or 4:10, I was down there in a small bus on a school run from Mavilla Community College. And I had to get two cars to move, one of whom argued with me, to let a small bus through. So the service coaches have absolutely no chance of getting through.
I had an idea of what they said to you in arguing with you. Like, what was the attitude?
Well, I screwed down the window and I shouted out the guy. I didn't really raise my voice at the start, but I said, "Can you move?" I said, "You need to move."
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just said, "Why?" Why was the exact answer? Now, to compound things, it's very hard to know how to deal with this because it's a mindset in people, right?
Mm.
The only reason we put it on Facebook is because that's where most of our passengers get information about delays or anything in real time. There's no other way to do it. People who use the buses regularly watch Facebook. They have alerts for our site and they get information that way. So I posted yesterday, put it up, Teresa put it up along with me, and in the afternoon I posted again showing photographs of cars blocking both sides of the road parked on a narrow bridge. We got an email last night at about 7 o'clock from a guy who is very distraught that his wife's car should be put up on social media as it could cause intimidation and we should take it down straight away or we'll be getting a solicitor's letter. Now, if that's the mindset of people that we're dealing with, we're barking up the wrong tree here. You know?
Yeah, last time we talked, you know, we can't rely on common sense because the common sense thing is not to park here, but last time we talked about signage or maybe some lines on that road, because, you know, if it's embarrassing for us talking about it or you as a company, it should be embarrassing for the local authority. Are these people, many of them visitors, is there signage yet saying no parking or even a couple of yellow lines up and down the road or at least on one side of the road? Is there anything that we can say, look, you've been told?
No. Is there a problem? Nothing has been done. Since you and I talked about this last year, zero has happened. There has been no guard activity. There's been no council activity. Local councillors haven't been seen. I just don't know. There's been nothing done, just basically, and that's it.
Yeah, and looking at these pictures, I think many motorists, particularly one with a gold and a white car, although maybe someone's in that white car, but either way, you would struggle to get that past that in a car, even an 18-seater. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's ridiculous, and people have to get on with their lives.
I couldn't get through yesterday evening in a small 33-seater school bus.
I think you need a bit of backup on this. The answer is this. The answer is enforcement. The answer is a Garda car going up there. If the cars are parked irresponsibly, ticketing. or if that's not enough, some signage saying cars can be clamped and moved, or some other kind of a bylaw that could be introduced. Because, as I say, this is inconvenient for you, very inconvenient, but this is also potentially life and death for somebody else. And that is not acceptable in any modern society, Bernard.
It's inconvenient for us, yes, but we can cancel that area just out of the service and put up a notice on Facebook and that. But it's the people in the area that are suffering. It's the locals in the area. People use that service to go to Letterkenny, to college, to go to the hospital. They use it to go to Derry, to hospitals, to college, for shopping, for everything. And they're done out of their service completely. I mean, Local Link have put a lot of funding and a lot of effort into enhancing the public transport in this area. They've invested a huge amount of money, as has Foyle Coaches and vehicles now, and the people now can't access those vehicles because of this, you know.
Okay, listen, Bernard, we're going to get onto the council and see what they can or can't do, but I'll tell you one thing. If God forbid we've seen major fires, we've had issues with access to, you know, water and all that type of stuff, if the fire service was delayed because of this, I don't think you'd get a fire engine through a lot of this stuff. There would be hell to pay.
Never mind the fire engine, Greg. You wouldn't get an ambulance through.
Yeah,
simply would not have got the shape of the ambulances, the square bodies on them. You would not have got it through down there yesterday.
Okay, well, listen, I know you were reluctant, but I think you're doing a good thing because, you know, you have to hold a light up to this stuff. Thanks, Bernard. Bernard McGuinness there, manager of Full Coaches in Redcastle. Is the N56 included in this one-off planning or any of the routes along the N route? Well, we're waiting to find out. We don't actually know yet. What we were hearing from our guest a little earlier on, Martin, is that, you know, what they would like to see, but it's still in the discussion stages. We have a farm and our sons and daughters were refused planning. As a result, one stayed at home. The other three are in Australia. I've always blamed this government for the decision to leave. Can you imagine that as a parent, how angry you would feel that you've got three family members that are now in Australia on the other end of the world and they believe planning policy was the driver for that? Be a tough old pill to swallow that. That's real life-changing stuff. Another what annoys me about refusing planning is often the person complaining is not from the area. You see that all too often. You know, I used to, when I was in the newsroom all of the time, I used to check every Thursday when the planning applications would come in, and you would see where some of the objections were coming from, and it would be Leitrim, Sligo. And I'm like, what? Okay, that's where we have to leave it on the show today. Thank you to all of you who listened to the show or watched the programme. We'll be back tomorrow morning from 9 a.m.